covenantal relationship that God has made with God's people from the very beginning. Our Old Testament lessons for these past 3 weeks and for the whole season of Lent are about God's covenants with God's people. First, there was the covenant that God made with Noah when he set the bow in the sky and said, "No more will I destroy the entire earth." God said, "I'm not going to do that anymore." And then the covenant God made with Sarah and Abraham that said, "Your descendants are going to be numerous as the stars, numerous as the sands on the beaches. And through them, all nations will be blessed." Today is about the covenant on Mount Sinai, the covenant that God made with the people of Israel after he set them free. Never forget that the Ten Commandments were given to a people newly set free. Because you don't hear very much in the book of Exodus about their gratitude, but they had just escaped slavery. And God met them on the outside, on the freedom side, and said, "Now you are my people, but I will be your God. Here's what I expect of you." And he gave them the commandments. Jesus said, you know, even the Ten Commandments, he didn't say this literally, but he said, you know, "I'm going to break it down to two because you have such a hard time with 10. Love God more than anything. That's the first three commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the rest of the commandments, the ones that deal with dealing with your neighbor. But they are all about relationship. Relationship, first of all, with God. Don't have any other gods. Don't worship idols. And we may not have temples to Zeus or Apollos or any of those, but we do have idols, and we need to confess. Remember the Sabbath. That's not just about doing nothing, but about honoring all the creation that God has made and knowing, worshiping the God who did it all. If you look at Exodus, it says you're not going to do any work on the Sabbath, but you're also not going to make anyone else do any work. How does that reflect on our Sunday brunches where we have waitstaff tending to our every need? I remember some years back when I still worked at Office Max, there was a homeschooler, very, very forward Christian in the community. And she would bring in her children's curriculum every Sunday afternoon. And she would get so irate if it wasn't done by 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. There's an irony there. Love your parents. Honor them as best you can. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Don't covet other people's stuff. That's how relationships remain relationships. Those are rules that keep a community functioning as a community. One would say they're common sense. So we skip ahead to the gospel. And there are money changers in the temple. What's a money changer? They're the people who trade out one type of coinage for another because you can't carry Roman coinage into the temple. It would be a sacrilege. But these are people who are making a profit often off of people who are making a sacrifice. And the poor have no options. If you're not a farmer, where are you going to get these animals to sacrifice? This wasn't a lot different than the argument Martin Luther was having about indulgences. If you just pay up, if you pay enough, your soul will be set free. God will forgive you. In Martin Luther's time, that was when they were redoing the Sistine Chapel. You know, all that glorious artwork that we adore in Rome? Michelangelo, Raphael, Da Vinci, I mean, all of those guys were contemporaries. And they were making some lusciously good art, but it was expensive. And it was coming off the backs of the poor people. That's what made Martin Luther so irate. He was in some ways reenacting this scene with Jesus, chasing the money changers out of the temple. The odd part about this story, if you want to put this history straight, is by the time the Gospel of John was written, the temple, the brick and mortar temple, was already destroyed. That was destroyed in 70 AD. But Jesus wasn't talking about the brick and mortar temple. Jesus was referring to himself as God's temple. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days. Destroy this temple. Because what you've got going here with the doves and the pigs and the, not pigs, cows, the sheep, the lambs, that's not what God wants. God wants you to love God. And the Apostle Paul talks about this so much more in the later letters of the New Testament. Faith in Jesus, trust in God, love of God and neighbor. These are not complicated things. These are not things to make a profit off of. These are what God wishes for God's people, for all people. You know, God loved the whole world so that he gave his only son. But every day, because the world is a noisy place, we are confronted with two kinds of tables. The money changers table, the kind that Jesus knocked over, the table for taking, for selling, for wagering and hustling, a table where the poor have no options, or the table of God's own self-giving. He preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, the table of the Lord, a sacrament of the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you. One will lead you to life and joy, fulfillment and salvation. One will not. Welcome to the table that God has spread for you. Welcome to the table of the Lord, that you may find your nourishment, may find your hungers fulfilled and filled, the empty places wiped away. Welcome to God's table. Amen.